Welcome to the Youngstown Studio Show. We do recover. I'm sitting here with my guest co-host, my beautiful wife.
I'm not your guest co-host. I'm your co-host.
She's my co-host, guys. I put her on there. And we are sitting here with Travis today. I'm excited to interview Travis today about his journey to freedom.
Yeah.
Remember, callers, you can call in 330-595-1600.
At any time.
Anytime. We will pick up the call, or you can drop a note on our Facebook Lives. We would love to answer your questions, and make sure you call in because we do have a pair of AirPods and $300 cash.
Oh yeah,
in the safe. So
if
you need
you call nice. In, and you if you do call in, instead of copping out and just writing a comment or something, if you actually call in the safe, there is some stuff in there, and you
there's
get to do
what $300 in AirPods.
Yeah.
So you call in, give us a 3-digit code. Yeah. Travis will put it in. We'll let you know if it goes.
And if it opens, the stuff is yours.
Come collect it.
Yeah.
So Travis, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, we're excited. I know Sunday we got to hear a little bit about your testimony at the Easter service.
It was so little.
Yeah. It was so little, bro. Yeah.
So little.
Yeah. So it wanted.
We're excited. We
wanted more
tonight.
We wanted more. So. As we go through this process, it's brutal, at the beginning, right? So, like, where did the beginning start for you?
Okay. So, first off, I'm from Grove City, PA.
Okay.
I was born in Newcastle.
Hey,
I have two older brothers, one younger sister. For me, I would say that I had a sports injury. I mean, I was in high school, started taking pills, getting overprescribed. One thing led to another. I mean, I was into all the, smoking weed, drinking, normal stuff. I guess I would think
right.
at that time, I mean, for me, with all the people I was
for
hanging
addicts
out with,
that was
pretty normal to me. And I just thought, after high school, this stuff will slow down. I'll straighten up. Everything will be good
tomorrow.
And after high school, I caught my first case, and it just kept going and rolling and getting bigger. And I just kept digging deeper and deeper and deeper.
What was that first case you caught?
So I had a buddy of mine be the driver, and I was going to burglarize a house. So I went into the house and I took like $20,000 cash and this kid ended up getting caught doing something else months later and told on me and in the process incriminated himself as the getaway. So they charged us both and I got charged with a burglary charge. It's dropped a criminal trespass and a lot of restitution.
Yeah.
Probation sentence, like 5 years probation. And everyone knows once you get on that, it's hard to get off of that probation, man. So
at that point, now you said you went from, obviously smoking weed to getting overprescribed. Where was your addiction at when you committed your first crime? What type of drugs were you doing? Where was it at?
Right. So it started off with like perks and bikes and things like that. And then, oxys, and back then they were just like huge.
The everyone doctors.
Was, yeah, they were
we had
everywhere.
All the doctors
yeah,
Newcastle
was just like just flooded, and then the blues came out, and then it was like everyone was doing those. And so it was just like to the point where however many I could get is however many I would do. If I got 10 that day, I'd do 10. If I got five, I do, just ridiculous. And just that was my life getting. Finding more.
Yeah.
The getting and mean finding ways.
More. Yeah. Let's go.
That was it.
So you caught your first case, probation, pretty much a slap on the wrist for that big of a crime.
Right. Yeah.
And it put you in the system.
Right. Right.
And so you went on, obviously, on the run or using, or how'd that go for you?
So I went and I did a little bit of time in county. And anyone that goes there knows that, like, you go in there with like a, you don't know a whole lot ever. And then you just learn so much bad stuff.
Yeah.
That whole environment's so negative.
It's
just like thrives off of negativity.
Yeah.
So, I got out of there, met some people that said they were doing some things, gave them a call. Turns out they were. And so I started to try other stuff. I started doing coke, I tried smoking crack, did heroin. But for some reason, that was the feeling that, like, just brought me to my knees, man. Just
heroin.
Yeah. Yep, the heroin. It was the worst.
Were you injected? What was it for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it started off, like, the same thing. Like, oh, I'll never do this. I'll never do that. I'll never do this. And you're looking at people that are partying more than you are and being like, oh, I'm good. You know what I mean? Look at them. Cause there's always someone to point the finger at. Right. And, so, but yeah, eventually it got to the point where I was like, you know, you run out of money, you run out of ways to scam all your friends and all your family and everyone. No one's giving you anything. Right. So you turn to start doing all the dirty stuff that we do, you know?
And in your addiction, so like when we say we're never going to do it, like we really mean, like, I'm never going to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then obviously it's the mind altering substance that obviously weakens you. And it's just, start to give it the, I don't care attitude.
You're caught in the grip. So it's just like, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. It just becomes like a whatever.
Yeah. So there's like a point in your life, like where you're doing something and you know, it's wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Like you feel that ping in your spirit.
The more like,
I shouldn't do this, but you do it anyway. Yeah. And then it just like kind of hardens your heart a little bit.
Gets easier.
A little bit more. And it gets easier and gets easier. And so that's kind of like what happened to me. I knew right from wrong. I was raised correctly. You know, I had went to church. I'd learned. I believed. But there's a big difference between like believing in Jesus and living for Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like huge. Sure. Like you can be saved and be doing all this, you know, and not having God at the center of your life, just kind of fitting, getting him in where he fits in type thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Where you fit him
in. Huge difference.
Yeah.
Right.
So, that's
I think too, like he touched base on, that's really important for like anybody to know, like addicts, you know, we don't have a moral deficiency. That's not what it is.
Right.
It's a disease,
you
know? And so then you have this, and then, like you said, it's like you do it once and then you're like, okay, you know, that sucked. And then you like do it again. And then the more times you go against that, it just makes it easier because you've done it so many times,
right?
But you're still not okay with it at the end of like everything else. When you finally like get clean, you sit back and look at it and you're like, man, that was messed up.
Oh,
you know, so still.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ask anyone that's been through the trenches and they're going to say that they've woke up a lot of days and said, man, I'm not going to do this today. And you find yourself doing something that was worse than yesterday or worse than you've ever done. And like, it's like the chase is half of it, right? Like you just the whole lifestyle. It's not just the using part. It's like that whole lifestyle, that whole chase. And like, now that I'm on the flip side of that, like the chase with God is so much greater.
Hey.
Except whenever you're hitting these plateaus and these peaks and even in the valleys, it's like, you don't, like the conviction from the Holy Spirit, the conviction that God gives me is a totally different from the guilt and the shame that the enemy wants to, you know what I mean, put on you. So it's like, I know I can do better and I have done better instead of just like feeling, you know, like crap the whole time. You know what I mean? It's, it's a fulfillment.
As you went through your journey, and I mean, obviously that wasn't the first time you got involved with the law, run us through a little bit of, I mean, we don't have to stay there long,
right,
but run us a little bit to what brought you to your knees.
Yeah.
Okay. So
the end of the road, what it looked like.
I had pretty much burned every bridge and had no kind of name or reputation in my town. Like if anyone knew I was coming over, they would be like, they would either say, no, you're not allowed, or they would hide everything, you know?
Yeah.
And, so my brother was like, why don't you come down here to Greensburg by Pittsburgh? He's like, why don't you come down here? Let's try to get you back on your feet. Let's do a little, start a little painting business. We'll get going. And so, I moved down to Greensburg. Things were going well for a little while. And then I found, you know what I mean? I brought me with me, you know what I'm saying? Like it worked for a little bit, but not long. Cause there was just no lasting change like inside, you know, I wanted it up here for the longest time. I just was like, well, I'm doing all the motions. I'm going through the actions. I'm working the steps. I'm saying what I'm supposed to say. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Why isn't this working? Where's the disconnect? Why am I still failing every time I'm trying to like have some type of lasting sobriety? And so I was running to the city, getting bundles of dope, you know, coming back to Greensburg. And I remember we did this job and it was like 60 grand and like we got like half the money up front and then we split that and then you know, bought materials and did these things. And then it was like time to go get more stuff. And it was like a week later. And I don't have any money. Like I'm broke. Like my brother was like, he just like freaked out.
Right.
Like, you know, he's a big dude. Like you like grip me up, like bouncing me around this apartment. And I was like, that was the point like in my life where I was like, man, I don't know what to do. Like I've tried like, and that's like, I think in my inside, I was like, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like,
let me just,
I had given up hope. Like there was no hope. Like I was like, I've tried it. I've went to every rehab. I've tried maintenance programs. I've went through, I tried churches and I tried all these different things, but, none of them worked. So, he made me go stay at the mission. Big wake up call. I never went to like, he's like, you're going, you know, I go and stay at this mission, man. And I was just looking around like, what is going on? Like, what is this my life? Like, is this what's really going to happen to me? And, that was the start of change.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Like an awakening moment while you were in there.
Yeah. Like to just say, this isn't what I want, man. This isn't how I was raised. I was the 2006 senior class president of my grade.
Come on,
like
tell somebody.
Like, I don't do this. Like, right. I mean, not that I'm better than anyone else, and this thing doesn't discriminate. I'm better than this. I knew that wasn't what I was meant to. I knew I wasn't created to live this way.
It just goes to show this disease does not care who you are, what you've done. It doesn't. Right. It doesn't. Right. Absolutely not. It will take you to the same place, though. You know what I mean? It'll take you to the same place.
I've been sitting in some shady places with people that I'm like, you?
Right.
What are you? You shouldn't be here. You know?
Girl. So now you're at the mission. Okay, this is where I start to change. This is where Travis starts to change.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do after the mission?
So it was another program, right? It was another program. I mean, God had this process for me that it was just like, I have a lot of pride, you know what I mean? Men struggle with pride, just period. Yeah, come on. You know what I mean? So like,
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure Jen has no pride. You don't know nothing about
that.
But so there was just like a process of breaking me. And I would still miss it every time. I would do these things in my life, go through the motions again. Life would get good. I'd gain people's trust back. I'd get the car, I'd get the job, I'd get the house, I'd get the apartment, get whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then once I had it all back, I just build up self-destruct.
Yeah.
Do you ever think that maybe that was why? Because like you didn't really have that terrible of consequences because things came back so quickly to you.
But well, you did. Keep going. We ain't done yet.
Stay tuned. So I ended up meeting some people down there that I shouldn't have met, being involved with some people that I shouldn't have been involved with. And you know, like the drug dealers and thinking I was cool and living that lifestyle. And I started breaking into houses and stealing firearms because I knew that that was something that I could get rid of for drugs on the street. And eventually that caught up with me and I ended up getting sentenced as a felon to 3.5 to 7 years. And that was in my early 20s. And so I went, they sent me to Western Penitentiary in Pittsburgh and then the Camp Hill and in the middle of the state in PA and then the Hallsdale. And then I went to this boot camp program and got out like on my minimum, but there was plenty of county sentences for stupid, you know, thefts and forgeries and access device, all these things that I was doing that I didn't want to do and I knew weren't me, but I couldn't stop because of the thing that was controlling me. Like
using against your own will.
Like it wasn't until later when I was taught like what I was, you know, I eventually just landed at Teen Challenge. This is where like the story really starts to change for me. And what I was taught was, is that like, you know, like God's a tripart being, so are we, you know, I have a mind, body, you know what I mean? And then I have a spirit that's inside that, but the problem was, is that that spirit man inside of me wasn't filled with anything good. Like I was controlled by everything around me. If I was around money, it was greed. If I was around women, it was lust. If I was around drugs, it was addiction, alcohol, addiction. So it was just like, I was overcome by every spiritual thing out there because I had nothing to stand on inside of me. And so, I started to work on that spirit, man. I started to build it up. I started to have a relationship with God. You know, I mean, I surrendered, not like the jailhouse prayers. Like, you know, I did those a bunch of times. Like I can look back and see like God's grace and mercy all over my life. Like there was ODs in between all of that. You know, there was times that I'd wake up in an alley with everything missing because the people that I was using with stole it from me. You know, they didn't call and say, hey, this dude's OD and we need to get him help. They just left me for dead and rummaged my pockets and went, you know what I mean? Like, these are the type of people I was hanging out with, you know what I mean? Right. Like just not good people, man. And so, it was in Teen Challenge that I started to learn some of these things and started to like actually develop a relationship with God. And because of the way that it's set up, like, you only get like one 10-minute phone call a week, and it's either to your family or to your wife. Like, there's no girlfriends, there's no, you know, buddies. You're not keeping in contact. They like sever all those connections because they really, I needed that. Like, I needed to be put in an area, in an environment that I didn't have I couldn't look at the news or Facebook or read the newspaper or any distractions. It was just like discipline, discipline, discipline.
Yeah.
And, I truly believe just like working out, like reading the word, when you discipline yourself to something, then it'll breed desire in you. Like, it doesn't work. Yeah. You're, and one day you're not going to wake up and be like, you know what? I just desire to work out, you know,
right.
But once you start to discipline yourself to something, then desire will start to happen. So, that's what happened with me in the word. And then, like I said the other Romans 12:2 is like one of my life scriptures, because for the longest time, I just thought my mind thinks thoughts and my eyes see things and I can't help what that stuff is. You know, I don't get to, until someone's like, no, you can guard your ear gates and your eye gates. You can feed stuff in, like say this bottle of water was dirty. You know what I mean? Like, if there was dirt in there, like, the word is basically like pouring clean water in, and eventually it'll start to get murky and murky, and then it'll overflow, and then it'll just become clear and clear until you pour enough in that it's clear, it's purified.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no more dirt in this bottle, and that's what the word like does to your mind. And so, you don't want to see those things. You don't want to look at those same, you don't want to speak those same words, because it you can feel that it grieves the Holy Spirit inside of you. Like, you don't want to, say those things about other people. You don't, you know, once you start reading in and saying like, huh, man, if I don't forgive others, I'm literally like creating my own measuring stick for that day, you know, for that judgment day. You know, if I don't, that same measure is going to be used against me one day, you know? So it's like, I want to have that big old gracious, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I still struggle with all kinds of different, you know, different stuff, you know, anger and frustration and the power struggle every day between like me and God, you know what I mean? But I want to do this, you know, like, this is what I want to do, you know, but.
How long were you in Teen Challenge for?
So it was a year. I mean, it was a year long program, but I'd love to say that was it. I was a slow learner. So I went for 6 months and I was cured and super religious. And, and that was the problem, because at a young age, I, you know, equated like God, Bible, Jesus, religion.
Yeah.
That's religion. That's church. That's this, that's that. And I had no idea about relationship and personal intimacy with him. And doesn't matter how you get it or where you get it or what it looks like or who says it's supposed to be this way or that way. Like, religion creates laws, you know, you can do this, you can't do that. Like, Jesus literally came to fulfill the law because we couldn't, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, he came because in the Old Testament, there was like 400 or 600 and some laws that no human being could follow. So you'd have to like sacrifice this lamb, you know, your spotless lamb to atone for your sins every year. Well, Jesus came, fulfilled the law. And so now, like, I just, once I gained that like realization, man, it was life changing for me. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, man, I'm free from having to live in this way. Like, I know better now. So
forget, guys, you can call in. The number is 330-595-1600. If you have questions or you have feedback or you want to guess
the code.
Win that cash. Travis said that he could just break right in there.
Right.
You know what I mean? He said he didn't even need a code when we got here.
I'll put it in my back pocket, run it over my truck. But we don't have to live like that anymore, guys. So now you're clean. I mean, you got this mind frame. You got this relationship with God. You have this walk with God. You realize, listen, it's not just, you know, church, the Bible. It's not just that. It's a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. What are some of like the blessings that have come out of this for you? So like, you have kids. You're trying to get back. Share a little bit about that.
So I have two beautiful children. I have a son. His name is JJ. And then I have a daughter, Mira. And so basically their mother doesn't look at me. She looks at me like that, you know, like that dude that I was just talking about. And, you know, because that's what I've shown to her. And so it's been a struggle to try and get my kids back into my life. So I'm, you know, there's court dates and all these different things that I've been trying to fight to get my kids back. 'Cause I just want to be a father, you know what I'm saying? So, I have gotten these visits and I go to court again in April 21st. So I'm just praying that, you know, all the work I've been putting in, that, you know, it's not in my hands, it's not in the court's hands, it's in God's hands. God yeah. knows what's going
Ultimately,
on.
Yeah.
He knows how my life is, what I'm doing behind closed doors, everything like that. So I just have faith that, you know, if it's, I got to jump through more hoops, cool. Then that's, he's going to make that decision, you know, right. whatever yeah. it is, I'm just not giving up, you know yeah. what I'm saying? Until I get my kids back in my life. And, you know, I'm going for half. I want half. I want them
right. just right. all, bro. Come on.
I want them just
right. I actually want 51. Right. I love but them. I'm going, I mean, that's I'll awesome. Do 50.
And now your son's JJ. What's that?
My son's JJ. Jerry Jr. My grandfather, my grandfather's name is Jerry. He taught me everything I know.
Okay.
As far as like the carpentry aspect.
Yeah.
That's another blessing. You know, I yeah. started my own Come business,
on.
Man.
Come like, on.
Hey.
I've been
people are letting you in their houses right. and trusting you today. Man, that's wild. And I mean,
yeah.
Like, I don't
Things
have to break happen. In no more. They leave the door open for me with coffee.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Curses. Yeah. It is. It's wild. People are just like, hey, you know, yeah, we'll leave the key in the box. Door's unlocked, you know, this and that. And like, there was a time that I couldn't trust myself, you know.
Yeah.
And like I would really be wanting to do good, but like the temptation was too great. I got to see what's in that drawer, you know,
right.
just stupid stuff that you allow your mind to like think on.
Yeah.
And then you like, it like pulls on your curiosity. Like it's that stuff now that like, I know because I spent enough time, but like, boom, what'll fire into my head? 2 Corinthians 10:3, you know, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against we don't walk in the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so what I didn't know is like right after that, there's like a really important verse, and that's where everyone stops, like right at that verse. And it's like, and punishing all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So it's like, I don't want to just take every thought captive and have them up in my head.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I want to cast those things down. You
right.
know what I mean? I want to yeah. get that out. I don't want a prison full of bad thoughts in my yeah. head. So when one escapes, it lets the rest of them loose, you know?
Right. right.
So it's like learning how to do that in an environment where I can fail and be okay. And there's grace and mercy out here. You make a mistake and everyone in your past, everyone is ready to be like, see, told you you didn't change. Mm-hmm. See,
yeah.
I told you, you know, everyone's just holding their breath, waiting for yeah. someone to slip up, because it's sad, but people like to see you fall more than they like to see you rise. True. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you have a good group of people in recovery, people yeah. at the church, people, you know, people and that are building each other
that's
up.
That's what we talk about so much. It's about having that support group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those people that will put you in check when you need to and let you know when you're messing up or let you right. know when you're doing right and praise you at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's like to find
tear you up, group. Build you up all right. at the same time, right. love what, you
what
up.
What does your support group look like today? I mean, obviously, we already know about Whitney.
Hey girl. You know,
yeah, come
stole
on.
My thunder. Hey girl.
Yeah, I know. Hold on. I won't even steal that. So, like, you got out of teen challenge. You're starting to build your support group. What does your support group look like today?
So, I've got several buddies that are, you know, that either are still at Teen Challenge or have since moved on and they're doing well that I still keep in contact with. Obviously, Pastor, soon to be you guys more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah.
Hey. And, I need you guys, man, for
yeah.
real.
Let's go.
Marcus, I talk with Marcus
yeah.
and Falling a lot. You know, just anybody and everybody. Like I said, the house I'm working on in Struthers right now is a guy that graduated. He graduated TC with me. He's still doing well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's in the Iron Workers Union. You know, he's... So I'm just working over there, just keeping those connections and stuff, but staying close enough with people so that they can call you out. Because if you're not close enough, you're not going to tell anybody. I'm
right.
not going to tell anybody when I'm screwing. You know what I
yeah.
mean? I have to keep that accountability in my life, because if I withdraw from it, then people are going to be like, hey, bro, what's up?
Right.
I haven't
right.
heard from you like in a week. Like, what's
right.
going on with you? You
yeah.
know? So... but it's real easy to not do that. You know, they say, you know, that 1,000-pound phone type thing.
Oof.
You know what I mean?
Like, I just talked about that today.
It's another one of those things. The more you do it, then the easier it is, because
yeah.
at first you're looking at it like, oh, this, you know, people are going to look at me like, you know, why are you thinking this? Or you should be further than that. And that's just not
it's
the not case.
Not because it's like, all up in your head.
Right. Been through this enough to know that a thought can come out of nowhere for, you know, no reason whatsoever. Like, you know what I mean? You just want to get it out instead of keeping that in, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I like to say that about meetings all the time. This is the only place I can go and talk freely and express the things that are really going on inside of my head. Yeah, without getting like,
because people are like, people are like, right? And you're like, see, you agree.
We have a caller. Let's go ahead and hit that caller, see what we got today.
Wait a minute. Oh, no.
Mario,
I can't. I should know how to do this.
We have technical difficulties.
It's not. I just can't get the mouse over. I don't know how to do this. I know how to do most stuff, but I don't know how to do that. So, you should have told me.
There we go.
I would have remembered.
We'll get it next week.
We got it next week.
All right, let's see.
Caller.
Are we good?
I don't think it's not.
It didn't go up.
Click talk?
I did.
It's not letting it click.
Okay. So we'll try the iPad.
All right.
Well, caller, you're going to stay on hold for a minute. And while we wait for Mario to get that, I wanted to ask you, I know that you talked about people had cut you off completely and you were just kind of in your own.
Yeah. But,
a lot of people, and they always ask too, how do you, like, what are your thoughts on enabling versus like tough love? Or how do you not enable people to make sure, you know, what would you say? Because you've been in this situation. Yeah, so was the tough love better for you? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Right. I know my go-to was like, well, I'm not going to rehab until I get one more. So if you give me one more, then we'll go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's been times where I've actually, you know, stuck to that and done that. But like,
go ahead and try it.
Uh-oh.
Well, we have the caller online. We'll come back to that question. Caller, what do you got for us?
What is it, the 3-digit code?
Yeah, what's it? That's who is this?
Devin.
Devin. What's up, Devin?
Get you some.
He wanted to call in. He's like, give me my 3-digit. Devin, before you give your 3-digit code, we need a question.
Question. What's a good thing to pray for in the morning if you're feeling like using?
Ooh, see, Devin?
Wow.
You came up with that. That is deep, Devin. What a good question.
Wow. Yeah. We're going to let Travis answer that question.
Then we're going to get your code.
And then we're going to get your code.
Nice. Wow. See, you need a saving over here.
So what I do every morning is I just lay it down. I say, God, I need you to come and rule and reign on the throne of my heart today. Like, I'm not going to be the one that controls my day. Like, I've proven to myself enough times that Travis doesn't stay sober with Travis.
Yeah.
Like I need some help. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, if I still feel that way, you know, they say that those cravings and things last, you know, 5 to 10 minutes or whatever it is. But, that's when that 1,000-pound phone is really that 1,000-pound phone. Like you got to call someone, you know what I mean? I invite God to do what God does. And then.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Devin, give us your code, buddy.
All right. Let's see. 351.
3-5-1. Nada.
Wait, I got something for that.
Nope. All right, Devin. Hey, listen, I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you calling in. That was a great question. Feel free to continue tuning in and tune in next week as well.
Okay, of course. Can I send a message out to everyone?
Go ahead.
Sure.
For everyone struggling right now, just know God is on your side. You just have to believe. That's and right. Help is out there, so don't be afraid to ask for it.
That's a fact.
It's okay need help.
Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff, guys. Devin.
I appreciate you, Jed. I'll probably see you Friday.
Yes, you will, brother.
Thanks, Devin.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You guys have a blessed night.
You too. Wow.
You have to hit it over there. Drop. So... back to the enable question. See, now you have time to think about it.
Right. But I was thinking about it.
There was a lot going on. I know. It's okay. But seriously, because families always want to know that. Like families that struggle with one of their loved ones being an addiction, you know, they want to know, am I enabling? Am I enabling? How do I not enable but love them? Like, what do I do? You know? So that's why I'm asking.
Right. Well, as much as the, addict, alcoholic, whatever Emmy wants to say, like, you know, otherwise, like, tough love is probably your best bet. You know what I mean? Like, there's, I have put people in those situations too many times to now look back on it and say, man, that's so selfish. That's so wrong of me to manipulate that, to make them think that whenever, like, it was the end result was going to happen one way or another. I was either going to, this was going to happen. Like, your love is the only thing that's going to help those people. And if you love them, then you do what's right. You know, and if you feel inside that, like, I shouldn't get them, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that.
You don't want to love them to death.
Right. Yes.
Like, literally.
Yeah.
We have another caller. Hey, caller. Welcome to Redo Cover Show.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Hey, cool. Caller.
Beat back on.
Are you still there?
Caller?
That's not good.
He said that's not good.
Caller, call back. We're having some more technical difficulties here. We are not giving that money away in the States. That's the bottom line.
That's what's really going on. That's the caller right there. Is it or no?
Okay. No, they so, that's a really, really touchy subject with the enabling. And that's the thing, like, us as addicts and people, we're like, if we don't get what we want, we say a lot of things back in return that will hurt you.
The worst.
It, with words.
Oh, yeah.
And
we'll
catch
you.
And the people who are out there are like, why would they say this to me?
Because thank you for calling Zelen Studios host and call screener line.
Don't give it to us.
Please enter your show number.
We're going to try to hurt you in any way.
Anyway,
like, it's wild. And, like, it's kind of hard to be like, hey, I'm sorry for this, but if I was not, I would never said any of this. And a lot of people are hurt.
Right.
Like, with the words we say, if we don't get our way when we're using, it's like really desperate. Like, I mean, the things that, like, we say to our family and our mothers, like, could you, I mean.
Oh, man, I know.
Welcome,
my mother's a snake.
You are now in the host.
Mine is too, and I can't even imagine.
The Colin Studio web interface.
I couldn't even imagine, like, you know, some of the things that, like, I don't want to think about it. You know what I mean? Just forgive me. We're moving on. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
I think that's why those steps are in order the way they are. Because by the time you get to nine, it's like they should have seen
some changes
that should have happened by that point.
Exactly.
So that it can be like a little more heartfelt rather than, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I did it, you know, like it's more meaningful in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I want to hear if you, do you think that you have found your purpose in life?
You know, I think I'm stepping into what that is and what that means. You know, just in these past, because I've been, my prayer for God is like, God, I want to serve you. Like, I don't want to just be on the sidelines. Like, I want to, and I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm on the sidelines. I just want to be serving him in some way.
Yeah.
And like, and whatever that looks like, whatever that is, when someone asks me to speak, you know, like, or at church, or if I can just get in where I fit in and I know that it's in his will, like, then I'm content, you know?
Yeah.
So what does that look like in the long term right now? I don't know, but I've kind of got some ideas. You know, I've got this business that I would love to teach people with, but also have a good work atmosphere and environment. Construction crews are not the best, you know? We do not attract the best people all the time. You know, I've worked on a lot of crews over the years, and it's been like, you know, smoking, drinking, you know, all the stuff, man, you know, that any industry really has.
Yeah.
But that's not the way I do things. You know what I mean? I want to create an atmosphere where people are like, man, they came, they were well mannered. They cleaned up. They didn't blast loud music.
Yeah.
They weren't just running around with their shirts off.
Like, yeah. You know, come on now.
Screaming, yell. You know, I want to be professional, and I want people to, you know, be able to, I want to be a stepping stone for people. I don't necessarily think whenever I get someone or I hire someone that oh, this person's with me and they're going to stay with me. No, I mean, I just want to push you up. You know what I mean? If that's you getting your own business, if that's you just getting to the next job, if that's you need to get a apartment, or if you're around here and you need to get back home, wherever that is, whatever that means, man, I just want to be used to help others.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, because, you know, with working in the industry, like, you know, we have a lot of guys that, you know, have traits, because not everybody's just an act. A lot of people have that trait skill, like did. You know what I mean? You're great at what you do. It just so happened your addiction took over and it, you know, totally diluted that.
Right.
But like, we have a lot of guys now that are clean and that do great work that, you know, we'll be able to, I'll be able to send your way and stuff like that. Yeah. You will be able to do that. It's funny you say that because there's a couple guys right now that I even have in mind. If when it comes to it, you let me know.
And then it gives opportunity though, because a lot of times for addicts, it's hard to even get a job because they have this resume. It's like the last 8 years, what did you do? Like, why is there nothing on here?
Then, such a long gap.
Yeah, there's a big gap there. It's not like because of COVID. It's like 8 years. Yeah. So what's
got
going
a few F's on your report card.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Or you like look and you're and they're and they have a criminal history and all this stuff. So it's hard for them to get a job. So things like that are, you know, a blessing, which brings me to the $1 million question that I always like to ask. If you could go back and not be an addict, if that was an option, would you take that, or are you grateful and thankful and everything in between?
No, I definitely wouldn't change anything.
I totally
believe, like I said, I think that everything has, you know, given me like the depth in which I've been in the darkness is the opposite of how far I can be catapulted into the light. Like my spectrum would have stayed like here to here.
Yeah.
And now since I went way down here, my sense of gratitude and appreciation, like we were forged in the trenches, man.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like on the mountaintop. I was like, oh, growth, you know, I didn't grow in any of those spots.
Right.
So like, you know, I'm not in like in the place where like I'm embracing the suck,
but
I know that like whenever something's going on in my life, that there's a plan and a purpose to it. You know, I can fall back on my faith and say, God, you've done it for me before and I can't see it. I don't understand it. I don't like how it feels, but I know you're building something. I know you're producing something.
And like I say, like a lot of times, and especially applies with you, it's like, you know, God was with us the whole time, right? He never did leave us.
No.
But sometimes God takes you the long way so you can pick up stuff along the way to share. You know what I mean?
That's good.
And your testimony today, because of that, like that's why I would not change one single thing. I mean, I wouldn't change a thing in my life because of my wife, let alone all the things God has in my life.
Right.
So you know what I mean? So like,
your wife.
And what does that look like for you today? I mean, so you like, you're fighting to get your kids back. Here's the real $1 million question, guys. Who's in your life today? Who's your number one supporter?
Oh man, by far my fiance Whitney. She is like, she like the way that this woman has came into my, like how it happened. I wasn't looking for anything. She wasn't looking for anything. Like, and the way that all the similarities we have had in common and our common interests and our hobbies. And then obviously if there ain't a spark there, then, you know, it just doesn't. And like, and that was over a year ago. Actually, no, our 1 year is that we like made it Facebook official.
I know college on Facebook.
Is the 12th of this month. So, you know,
Like
6 days.
Yeah,
happy anniversary.
Funny thing is today is I took this picture. I was reading the Bible earlier in my truck while I was waiting before like I went into my visit. And I stuck this picture in my Bible and I had no idea it had like April 6th at the bottom. Well, later we get in my truck to go get coffee, Whitney and I, and she like opens up my Bible and was like, oh my gosh. She's like, this picture was 1 year ago today. And I was just like, it was just funny. Like, cause I didn't see that. I didn't look at that. You know what I mean? So it was just a cool little, but, yeah, the way that this woman has like given me, shown me like grace and mercy to grow, like that's what we need to grow.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you have someone that's, if your environment or your relationship atmosphere isn't forgiving and loving on a way that like the word says, you know what I mean? Doesn't hold a record of wrongs. It doesn't boast. It's not prideful, not jealous, all these things. Then, and if you can't receive correction from one another a little bit, you know what I mean? And take an honest look. That's a hard thing for a lot of people to do is like, I need a husband, not a preacher, you know what I mean? Type thing. So like my question to you guys is how do you guys keep your, cause I couldn't, I don't know how I would be able to keep my, if she was in recovery also, how do you guys keep your recovery separate? But I'm sure that you still kind of help each, like, how does that look for you guys?
Yeah. So that's a great question because we do keep,
he came back with $1 million.
He did, right? we do keep our recovery separate. Like, you know what I mean? I don't ask her about her step work. I don't ask her about what, you know what I mean? But yet then again, I am a big part of her support group.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, and the biggest part for me was, really was kind of forgetting about the past. Right. Because, you know, we all, it's crazy how it's kind of one-sided, okay? I did what I did in my addiction, right? And that's okay. It's
that's irrelevant.
Right. But then
but
whenever
you did,
she starts sharing and telling me about, I'm like, whoa.
Right. Really?
You know what I mean? But you talk about the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and to be God-like, and that's what I inspire to be.
Right.
So that makes me ultimately forgive and accept and not necessarily saying that everything that she did was, you know what I mean, great. It wasn't like, it is, but it's the story God gave her. It's a testimony
right.
God
it's
gave
her.
And if you look at it that way, there's nothing she could have done in the past that would affect what we have going on in the future.
Amen.
So it's ultimately, it's like you said, the forgiveness, the whole part. But as far as like, you know, talk about a backbone, like, and trust me, I have a lot of bones in my body, but like, she is my backbone. Like, anything like, I switched jobs where I was making great money and working for Groover and doing all this different stuff, but I switched jobs and I told her this was one, I don't love doing this stuff. She's like, well, do something you love to do.
Yeah,
and right. I took a pay cut, all this different stuff. And I started to do that. And like, I mean, she knows the difference in like how excited and happy and all that stuff.
That's what's important.
And it's crazy. Like she allowed me, it wasn't like, oh, well, I'm making this much money. It's not about any of that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, she really supported me. So,
and even like, if I know, like, you know, if he's like, the guys are doing that, go do that. I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go with y'all. Y'all should do that.
Yeah.
And guess what? We're having girls' night on this night, and we're doing this.
Right.
And like, okay.
The big part's trust. It's 100%. If you don't have trust.
Yeah, that's the foundation.
There is no, I don't care where she could say she's going, I trust her.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Right.
And if you don't have that trust and you're sitting there bickering about that, I mean, you're wasting your time.
Right. Yeah. Right. If you can't have that stuff inside of the home and have these, foundational, then how can you be used outside of it? You know,
right,
how can God use me outside of my home if I don't have my own house in order?
Yeah. And we keep things separate, but we also talk about everything. So like, I know immediately if something's bothering him. Immediately.
Oh, we're on that level too. It's
I'm like, okay, let's talk. What's wrong?
Yeah, what's wrong? I'm fine, babe. I'm fine.
It's always I'm fine.
I would say that, babe. What's wrong?
And then she comes
sit on my lap. I'm like, all
right. Come here. Let me sit with you. What
communication's
happened?
Communication's key. Obviously, it's huge. That's
and there's always going to be bad days. You know what I mean? You can't expect there not to be bad days.
But I don't like to call them bad days. They're bad moments.
Yeah.
And let's turn it around for the rest of the day. You know what I mean?
Right. It's really important to have someone that can go through those situations where, like, you know, everything's not, you know, honeymoon phase or whatever you want to call all the time. You know, it's like there are moments that we have to come together and say, hey, we're going to grow together and I'm not going to, you know, you guys made that vow to each other. Those vows are like, you know, in today's society, not very important anymore, but to men of God, that's really important.
Yeah.
That's really important to me.
Yeah. Which, like, because you guys are getting married. When?
Soon. The M-bomb.
In the next million.
I'm sure Whitney is listening.
We want to do it by the end of the year for sure. It's just like I said, once I know the days that I will have my children and they will be with me and I have that in paper from the courts and it's like set in stone type thing, then I can plan that because they're going
to
be a part
of
it. Because it's just not right to not.
Yeah, it's your family.
I want... It's not like her kids, my kids. Those are just our kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That together. We don't want separation.
Good.
The more division and separation, then the more that's what's going to happen in your life.
Right.
You 100%. Know?
Yeah. And then as soon as you find out, because, you know, Whitney, she's ready for you to pick a date.
So. Oh, is that what she just commented?
She puts said?
Come on, Whitney. Tell them how you really feel. We talk about honesty, open-minded, willingness.
We could just tell you, Whitney, that we planned ours in what, like a few days? Literally was at the mall getting a dress the day of the actual wedding. The night before. And it was closing. The mall was closing. And my friends and I were just running through stores trying to like find
stuff. We felt convicted. You know,
that's what it was.
We were
planning a wedding.
We didn't for a long time. I mean, not for a long time, but it was like all of a sudden
people were coming to us
and being like, you know, you guys are like a power couple. If you guys made this right, blah, blah, blah. All this
God stuff. Will bless
And it wasn't just one
marriage.
Person. It was like three people. You're like, you
all
know
in
what?
A day. Boom, boom. Like,
you know what? right.
God will bless
married.
Marriage.
He Pastor, said. You married us on Wednesday. He's like, cool. It was a Sunday. He was like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And so we got
married. And I'm like, I work. I said, I don't even have time to go get a dress. So right. I was like, I'm going to wear jeans.
Went to work and then got off and got married at 6 o'clock. We both got to work at 5 and got married at 6. And we still awesome. Had our families there and it was yeah. really.
That's
what and then the church had a church party.
So yeah, Waymaker was our wedding song. Yeah, come on.
We get it.
That's why we get into Waymaker.
There's already an event this weekend. Cool.
Yeah, bro.
Hey, listen, they had food lined up. We had our own table. They got us a cake topper.
Yeah, it was cool. It really was.
That's awesome.
And we didn't come out in debt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was huge. That's
key. Yeah.
Because we're not like materialistic. We don't want anything extravagant. It's just like we just want that. That
intimate moment in front of God
and to happen and to start living in that way. So it's like, but we do want our just like family to be there, you know.
Now, I think that's all like you can have,
right?
With COVID and stuff.
You not might. A bridge of hope.
Speaking of recovery night and speaking of
slipped my mind. So yes, listen, this Friday night, 7 o'clock is recovery night at Bridge of Hope, 7580 Glenwood Avenue. There's childcare available. We have coffee. We have, and you want to talk about a place of recovery, a place of just letting go and
get vulnerable. It is crazy. Broke down. Let's go.
And there's nothing like seeing, you know, 300 people, addicts recovering, or you know what I mean? It's just in one place. It's so encouraging. And it's going to be awesome. If you guys have not been to one,
then you're missing out.
This isn't just for addicts.
No.
Because addiction affects the whole family, right?
Yeah.
It affects everybody. 100%. So in order to fully recover, we have to fully recover together.
Addiction is a family disease. Recovery is a family solution.
Yeah.
Everybody should be there. But also, it doesn't even just have to be addiction. You know what I mean? Like when we say addiction, it doesn't have to be drug addiction. It could be gambling. It could be just a problem that you've been encountering over and over and over and over and over again.
We're on that mountain.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. There you go. And your life is unmanageable.
Yeah.
You're having problems because show up.
Yep.
Come hear some.
Come get prayed for. Get your spirit fed.
Right. That's how we lit. Do.
I'm excited. Yes.
And then you can come to church on Sunday.
Oh, let's go. 10:30, Bridge of Hope. If you missed Easter service,
then that sucks for you. Yeah.
Right. It was electrifying. It was great. I literally felt like it was a concert. I know. I looked at my
goodness. It was
that way. I was looking. Yeah. Like my spirit gets stirred so much when I go to that church. Like that's what called me there. Like, we all went there. Like, the kids were like, we love this. We're like, we're in.
Done. Check. We're in.
That's how we did. We were like, he goes, we'll just check out this church. I was like, okay.
I know. after praise and worship, I looked at my iWatch. It said I had 9 minutes of exercise. Isn't that wild? What church can you go to and get 9 minutes of exercise for praise and worship? It was wild.
So that is true.
Yeah.
So. But Travis is not speaking on this Friday, but you will be speaking in
July. July.
Yeah, so we'll be speaking there in for July because we only do once a month.
Yeah.
So,
once a month. Second Friday of every month, 7 p.m.
Coming this Friday.
I forget his name. So, get on there.
So, but at least we know that if y'all need to get to a recovery night, it is on Friday. Make sure that y'all show up because believe it or not,
we're already out of time. It's 5:55. Listen, that was crazy. Absolutely crazy. We're going to have to have you back on because we barely...
We're going to have him for the couch session.
Yes, we're going to have a couch session.
We're going to just chill back in the fireplace.
Someone who has a week clean, someone who has like 3 months, 6 months, and we're just going to
grow,
and we're going to see.
Ideas and stuff like that. We're going to set it up.
Yeah, so Travis, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
This was awesome.
This was great.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Everybody, thank you for tuning in. We Do Recover show. Thank God.
Hey.
We will see you next week. And again, don't forget recovery night this Friday night, 7 p.m., 7580 Glenwood Avenue. Have a good one.
We do recover.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.